Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Almost 30% of the Vermont labor force is 55 years or older, according to the Department of Labor, and that number has been rising significantly in recent decades. About 10% of the labor force is over the age of 65. What used to be retirement age is no longer a marker for a definite end to one's working life. And whether it's because of financial necessity or the desire to continue working, Vermont companies are finding that their staff might be a little grayer than they were 30 years ago. And that comes with certain challenges and a lot of benefits as well. Today, we're going to look at the whys and hows of an aging workforce and also some of the difficulties older Vermonters find in getting or retaining good jobs. Joining us for the conversation is Mary Brannigan, Director of Program and Partner Affairs at Associates for Training and Development. It's a nonprofit with several locations around the state that helps people get training and get into new jobs. And Joe Seftel, a data clerk for the organization who works specifically with their Senior Community Service Employment Program. Joe and Mary, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
So, you know, Vermont's population is skewing older, so it makes sense that we have a higher percentage of mature or older workers in the workforce than the national average. But can we just define what we mean when the three of us talk about that quote-unquote mature workers? Is this 55 and older, 65 and older, Mary? What do you think?
Well, this program defines mature worker as age 55 plus.
Why?
Why? Because that's the threshold where it becomes statistically much more difficult to find work once you've become unemployed. So it makes sense to invest in workforce projects that train that population and re-engage them in employment later in life.
So people starting around age 55 and older may find similar challenges, whether they're, you know, of quote-unquote retirement age or not. I mean, and so that's sort of where you direct your focus.
That's exactly right. When you're older, it becomes harder to find work again once you've been laid off or once you've chosen to leave work. So reinventing yourself, getting training, getting updated skills, and as well building your self-confidence is a huge challenge, and that's what we're in the business of helping people to address.
Joe, in the populations that you work with and the people that you talk to, what do you hear about why older Vermonters are deciding to stay in the workforce?
There's a couple of reasons that I hear most often. One is, as you mentioned, the financial need that many are finding if they can qualify for Social Security, that it's not enough to live on and they need to supplement it. And I also speak with a lot of people who express that they may be relatively comfortable with their Social Security, but really feel they need to keep active in the workplace. They don't like being home relatively idle and just want to keep busy and engaged.
What are the percentages of those two different feelings? I mean, do you see a majority of people on one side or the other of that equation?
Yeah, I would say the majority definitely leans toward financial need. Hard to put an exact figure on it, but perhaps 2-1.
Does that mean, though, that they want to stay in the same job with the same hours and the same career that they had when they were 40?
Often they don't, whether by wanting a feeling of growth and change, or we also have people who simply are not physically up to doing what they may have done before, or in some instances, technology has sort of accelerated beyond their rate of learning with it. So,
Mary, I saw you shaking your head, too. You hear people saying not necessarily want to be in the same job, want to be in the workforce, but maybe not even in the career field at all that I was in before.
That's exactly right. We've actually studied this extensively. What we look at are two things. We look at the motivations to work at different points in life. And right around age 62 and 63, the motivation to work changes dramatically, almost exponentially every year after that. People become much more motivated by doing good, by contributing, by giving back, by wanting to stay involved, and less motivated for financial reasons. And we also study how people want to work, not just why, but how. And as people age, they tend to want to work differently than they did when they were younger. They want to work a little less. They want to do different things. They're motivated differently. And so helping people to find their own way at that point in life and work is what we do. And we're really honored to do it. We love it.
Joe, you actually went through the training program that you now work for. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah.
So what was your motivation?
It was a combination of the things we've been discussing. I had been working seasonally up at Jay Peak, and it was time to get back into the work routine, and there was a financial need with that. Also, I very much wanted to be engaged in something more of more contribution to the community and working with people and feeling as though I was doing some more community service related work.
So you fall right in line with what Mary was saying about those motivations changing.
Yep.
Huh. So Mary Brannigan, if the motivations for older workers may be changing and they want to, and again, this is just going on averages and not each individual, but if one of the motivations is to give back to the community, to do more, and another might be, I'd like to work a little bit less, maybe not a 50 or 60 hour week, maybe not even a 40 hour week. What kind of accommodations do companies need to make to attract and retain and get the most out of their mature workforce?
It's a really important conversation. Vermont has workforce issues. We simply don't have enough labor for the jobs that are open. And it's having a significant impact on the business ecosystem in this state. And if we want to solve those problems, we absolutely have to engage the older worker. And so businesses frequently come to us looking for guidance about how to do that. And we often advise about ways that you can design work that will be more attractive to recruit an older person or help to retain an older person. So helping them to focus on things they enjoy doing, helping to give them opportunities to mentor younger people, offering flexible schedules, perhaps even a seasonal job. Job sharing is extremely attractive to an older person. So there are a ton of options out there to get this to work. It's just about a business approaching it with an open mind and wanting to find something that's flexible and acceptable to both parties. We're usually pretty good at figuring that out with them if we have people who are willing to look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, but is every company willing to look at it from that perspective? Because you might say, hey, if you want to attract an older workforce, here are some things you could do. And they might say, yeah, not so interested in attracting an older workforce.
I think by necessity, businesses are becoming more open to that. We certainly have worked with companies that are incredibly open and innovative about designing systems that work for the demographic that we have in the state. And we've also seen some that are more reticent and more reliant on legacy about staffing structure. So it's really, it is a seismic shift, and it does take time to occur, but we've seen tremendous success stories, and people really become engaged in work in a way they did not think that they would be able to do. And it's incredibly rewarding and satisfying to see when it works.
Joe, can you talk a little bit more as well about what companies that are saying, yes, this is either because we want it to be or because we know it has to be a part of our workforce that we need to make sure that we are retaining and treating well. Some of the things that might need to happen, like you mentioned, extra training for technological advancement or different hours or even, different physical needs of a population. What do you see that companies can or are doing to help accommodate?
Yeah, having some flexibility in the schedule is important. With more mature workers, there's often more commitments or responsibilities that might pull them away from conventional hours on a regular basis. And going back to physical changes also sometimes creating a little more ergonomic comfort for the employee, whether it's standing more or less than usual or sitting more or less than usual, being able to get up and move around, minor adjustments like that. These are not dramatic changes, but recognizing just the personal needs where a little bit of change can make a big difference in the person's being able to really function well.
Mary mentioned that starting around age 55 is when people who are either trying to reenter the workforce because they've decided to come back or who have been laid off and need to find a new job find significant difficulties. So do you find that people are saying, I'm not getting the same kind of interviews, or I'm not getting a look, and I think it's because of my age? I mean, do you see significant age discrimination?
Absolutely. It's probably the most common thing I hear, and I hear it on a daily basis. People feel that there's the common term is age discrimination. Personally, I don't favor that term. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds a little drastic, but there certainly is more of a challenge to older people being as accepted as readily as younger people in many positions.
How do you find that that expresses itself? Is it just people are not able to get an interview as easily? I mean, it's so hard in mm-hmm. any kind of discrimination to know, you know, is it me? Is it my, you know, whatever attribute somebody is considering and thinking maybe not? I mean, what do people experience?
I think it's largely in the application process because it's usually before there's ever been an interview. It's challenging for many folks, and myself included in my experience in my older years in looking for work, that you simply don't get the interviews that you may have been used to getting in earlier years. And I think there's, you know, of course, subtle signs on the applications that indicate a person's age.
Mary, sometimes it's also, I imagine, occasionally at least, an instance where a recruiter or somebody looking at a resume might say, oh, this person is so overqualified for this job. They don't want this job. Do you find that that happens too? How do you coach people then to change their resume or change their cover letter to acknowledge maybe a level of experience beyond what this particular job requires?
It's an interesting phenomenon to be overqualified for a job. We have client-facing staff who are really good at this, who are really good at helping people customize applications to really represent themselves in a way that is appropriate for that particular job. I think a large part of this perception of age discrimination, I think a large part of it is just a digital divide, that people who are 55 oftentimes have held very stable, very successful jobs for decades. And the way you apply for a job now, an interview for a job now, is completely different than the way it was done when that person was in their 20s or 30s or 40s. And so helping people just understand the application process and understand how to overcome that divide really can connect them with an employer in a meaningful way. And we see people move from unemployment to employment with great rapidity once they have achieved that type of case management and received the services that our program is designed to give. So this is not an insurmountable problem.
And Joe, you said that you experienced this. You felt like you were having trouble getting the jobs that you might have gotten when you were younger. How did you experience it and what did you do?
I was surprised at how often I would submit applications and feel confident that I was meeting definitely the higher majority of the preferred qualifications, and yet just no response, none at all. So, you know, no interview. But I think that resumes are being viewed differently in the current employment world, and there's less opportunity to really meet with someone and get a sense of who they are. As an individual, it's more geared to just what statistics show up on paper. And I've learned that there's actually apps in place that employers have which go on select terms from the resume. So that's, again, where a person's age, without ever meeting them and knowing for a fact what it is, these things kind of show up.
How did you decide that you needed to get some assistance and some training? You now work for the program that you went through. So you found this job that allows you to give back what you were hoping for. But, mm-hmm. you know, that probably wasn't your motivation when you started doing the training.
Well, it was part of it. I needed help getting comfortable with the largely with the more technical parts of being successful in positions today. I was somewhat functional with computers, but really very limited. And I needed to have support in learning and engaging more in being able to do that. And getting comfortable working with, an office setting. I had not had much actual office experience before that. I had quite a bit of customer service and interaction and some public service experience, but it was a different environment for me, so I needed to really adjust. It took an adjustment for me to get competent and comfortable with that. So.
Let's go to Damir, who's calling in from South Burlington. Hi, Damir. Go ahead.
Hey, hi. How are you?
Well, thanks. And you?
All right. Doing well. Just have a comment. I have a father that he's 75 years old, and he pretty much works full-time, 7 till 3. He's a machinist, precise machines, like a grinding stuff. He's been with this company for now 22 years, ever since we got to the United States. And he doesn't show any signs of slowing down. He had a open heart surgery a few years ago, but that didn't stop him. Me personally, I encourage him to work. I guess it keeps him going. He's very active, fishing and all the stuff around the house. In the same time, my mother, who's 71 now, she couldn't wait to retire the age to just stop working, you know. She's doing well, too, but it's two kind of different people that we're talking about.
Demir, I appreciate your perspective and seeing it in your own parents, that one parent said, I am ready to be done working. And yet for your father, it's a situation where, you know, being able to continue working and have that that schedule and that fulfilling job really sort of keeps him going and energized. And Mary, you must see that from people, that sense of, if I'm not working, I may feel a loss, or I may not know, you know, what to do with myself. And for Damir's father, that's one of the things, one of the reasons why he's continuing even in a physically demanding job in his 70s.
We see that every day. There is so much dignity and honor involved in doing work and having a place where you are valued and needed. I think that when people retire, they think of retirement as such a positive thing, and it can be. And I congratulate and I'm glad for people who choose to retire. But many people choose to continue to work because they need that dignity and that sense of purpose. And many of the reasons that our workforce is aging so rapidly in Vermont are good reasons, because we're living longer, we're healthier, we can work longer. Those are good things. And so I don't look at this aging workforce as a problem. I look at this really as an opportunity. I listen to that caller and I hear how much joy and stability and really just wonderful, genuine contributions that individual is making at work. And I just think that that is exactly the employee that a business would want. And I'm honored to work with people like that every day.
We're talking with two people who work for Associates for Training and Development, a nonprofit with several locations around the state that helps people get training and get into new jobs, Mary Branigan and Joe Seftel. And one organization that has a significant number of older workers and cultivates that part of their workforce pretty carefully is Gardner Supply Company, with headquarters in Chittenden County. Christy Kane is the Vice President of Human Resources and Information Technology at Gardner Supply, which I want to mention is a VPR underwriter. And Christy joins us now. Welcome to the show, Christy.
Hi, thank you.
So we've been talking a little bit about some of the challenges that mature workers face in getting their resume up to speed, getting interviews, and some of the ways that companies can work to make their workplace more attractive to mature workers. I'm curious first from Gardner Supply what the benefits you see are of having a mature workforce.
Well, we've got kind of the statistic that we have is, over 35% of our workforce at any given time can be over the age 55. And in that kind of statistic, we have a number of factors. One is that we have great retention of employees. So folks have been with us for 20, 30 plus years. So just by virtue of them beginning and now, kind of coming to the end of their careers, we have just incredible wisdom in the retention of our staff. And of course, you can't replace that. So I feel that the older worker that's kind of currently and that grew up with our company is passing on a lot of legacy items as it pertains to our brand, our love of gardening, and just really just the type of wisdom that you can't get from a diploma. So that's one of the benefits for sure. And then we also have another group of employees that we see that is bringing us kind of this increasing that statistic for us. And we have a large seasonal contingency, and we have a lot of folks who are coming to us kind of as their second career post-retirement. They just want to get back in the workforce. So they're helping out in our retail store, our distribution center. And it's just amazing because we have folks who have had really highly successful careers in logistics, or we have a professor who is an arborist that I believe worked at Yale. So just the skill level and education that we can get from hiring people who just want to re-enter the workforce into kind of a fun post-retirement job is just spectacular. So we have a wealth of knowledge and the ideas generated. And, hey, we did this 30 years ago and we saw something transcend time. And this is, you know, let's go to back to basics and incorporate that into our business just by the virtue of hiring people who've been through in the workforce for such a long period of time. It's been highly beneficial.
Well, Christy, stay with us. Let's go to Nathan, who's calling in from Calais. Hi, Nathan. What's your experience?
Hi. Well, I'm 69 years old, and I'd always thought of retirement as doing what I wanted to do and for work as much as I wanted to do it. And I used to work in research and development, which was pretty high stress, but challenging. I mean, it was mentally very challenging. I built prototypes. And now I repair accordions and tube-type radios and typewriters and wind-up clocks. And some of that is stuff that I kind of already known how to do, and other parts of it is stuff that I'm teaching myself. And I love it.
And Nathan, do you do it for money? I mean, is this just a hobby, or is this?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
No. I make money doing it, and I need. I have Social Security, but not really enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the Social Security was enough to kind of take the stress off from having to make my enough money to survive. Now I would say that what I do for work is probably a third to half of what I get from Social Security.
Well, Nathan, thanks for sharing your experience and, you know, that interesting point, too, that we haven't talked much about, which when you have Social Security coming in, you maybe have more choices in how you want to make that extra money that you need to augment what you're getting from Social Security, because you don't have to make the full amount that you made when you were in a different field. So that's an interesting perspective to share as well. We got a couple of emails on people who are wondering and worrying, though, about the load at home that an aging workforce might have. Barb is the director of family caregiver support at the Central Vermont Council on Aging in Barrie and says, I'd like to discuss supports available for family caregivers in the workplace. This population is growing with the age tilt of our state, and many individuals are stressed by demands of caring for a family member or a friend with a chronic illness or disability outside of their paid work. Barb goes on to point out that resources and support programs are offered by Vermont State Councils on Aging, and she says these agencies are, quote, available to bring caregiver education and support into the workplace to help employers and employees meet increasing needs. And then Virginia in East Montpelier wrote in to say, I'm 69, and I recently retired from my work with the local Substance Abuse Prevention Coalition in Washington County. I worked with them for many years, moving from full-time to part-time and finally to no-time this summer, as my role as primary caregiver for a husband with dementia became increasingly demanding. Even with using the Council on Aging's Project Independence Day program 3 days a week, the demands of caregiving finally became too difficult to allow me to continue working even part-time. I spent 20 years of my career in the after-school and summer learning field and was an advocate for childcare, keenly aware of how quality childcare enhanced parents' economic health. Now I'm living at the other end of the spectrum, and quality, affordable elder care is just as vital for our society. Mary Branigan, I mean, that is one of the issues for people in this part of the workforce. We talk a lot about people with young children and how working can be really complicated by trying to find childcare. But certainly if you're dealing with an aging spouse or partner, that's also a real barrier to having work that that you have to be at every day. How do you think that should be addressed?
It is an incredible barrier and a tremendous challenge facing really this whole part of the country. Northeastern USA has an incredible shortage of caregivers. Actually, a lot of the program participants that go through our training programs train to serve in that capacity. They train to function as either at-home care, direct service providers, licensed nursing assistants. We have many people going into the healthcare field because, as we've said, older people are tremendously motivated by compassion and kindness and wanting to do good. And that is an industry where you can do good every moment of every day that you choose to work. And so I really look at older workers as one solution to that problem. And as you said, the Councils on Aging have tremendous resources available for people in terms of information and training on how to address that barrier, as does the state's Department on Disabilities, Aging and Independent Living, Dale. They have good resources, too. There is help. It's a tremendous challenge.
So, Christy Kane, how do you deal with that kind of situation at Gardner Supply? You have a lot of different kinds of workers with different hours and different needs, but certainly people who are caring for somebody with dementia or somebody who has a chronic illness at home is a significant challenge for them and perhaps for you as well.
Well, you know, I think kind of what was just said is that sometimes you experience that with younger parents as well, where they have needs at home that they have to address. So I see it as a similar situation with the aging workforce, that sometimes any one of us can have those needs at home. So we try to be as flexible as possible and make sure that when we hire someone, we understand post-hire what their needs are and try to make sure that we have flexible scheduling enough. We do have seasonal positions which can help. So we have some folks that only work for, you know, a few months and then they can kind of go back to everyday lives, but it gives them just enough of a break in social lives to give them some sense of accomplishment outside of the home. So we have folks that just work maybe 4 hours a day, and that's just enough to get a good, healthy break. But certainly, we know that with all of our employees, we have to understand that life and home situations always do need to come first, and so we just have a general understanding about that for all of our employees.
Let's go to Robin, who's calling in from Barrie. Hi, Robin. You're on the air.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. I am training with the Central Vermont Council on Aging in Barrie, and I'm doing it through the Associates for Training and Development, and I'm 67, and I'm kind of following a dream that I wanted to do office work when I was in high school, and my life took me in different directions, so I never really got to do that, and now I'm training here at Central Vermont Council on Aging, and I'm learning so many things, and I just love it.
Oh, Robin, I'm so glad to hear that not only are you able to pursue your dream, but you're finding it fulfilling and that you are getting to where you wanted to be as far back as high school. That's very cool. Michael is calling in from Newberry. Michael, hi. What is your thought today?
How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'm ready to retire today. In fact, I'll go tell my boss so. I'm 63 years old. I'm sitting in my propane truck making deliveries. About to get harder this winter, but financially, I'm just not able to. I've worked all my life, unskilled labor type work, tried a couple businesses, but I've just never saved the money or been able to retire. The folks, I congratulate them if they want to keep working after a certain age because they're bored. I wouldn't be. I could find plenty to do. Hike in, ride my bicycle, working on the garden, reading a book. So if any of those folks want to send me a check, I'll retire today.
But so, Michael, let me ask you, when you think, you said you're 63, I think, and you look at your future and you say, I can't afford to retire. So when you start to think about what it might look like for you in 5 or 10 years, is that a scary feeling? Do you think you'd change jobs? I mean, what do you see as your future then?
Well, I kind of have a couple hobbies I could get into, bicycle repair and some crafts and stuff I'd like to, but I've got to take care of a second and third mortgage on my house due to circumstances in my life that made me borrow against it after it was paid off a couple times. I'm looking at probably I'm a good driver, so maybe doing something like the stagecoach or, you know, one of those shuttle bus type deal up and down the Connecticut River Valley or things along those lines. But I just really would like to have the time to go play and do things. Like you say, I'm the type of person that could keep busy all the time. I work on local trails, the Cross Vermont Trail, and volunteer with groups like that. So
yeah,
I'm ready to go.
Michael, I hear you, and I hear that desire in your voice and the lack of an ability to see a way to get there. Joe, I'm curious if you encounter people like Michael and how you advise people who say, I am never going to be able to afford to retire. I mean, I'm 40. I look at my future and think, am I going to ever be able to retire? And my life may change, but, you know, will I ever be in a position? So how do you advise people like Michael?
Well, really, that's up to the individual to decide how they want to approach that in a lot of ways. But I tend to encourage people to think about something like the mature care programs, the senior care programs, the healthcare support, personal aid positions, things like that, as a way to ease into something that is going to be a viable means of income, and it is learning a new skill. And it's often something they can do part-time and sort of find a balance so that, you know, they're doing something that's manageable with their current lifestyle. They do get an income and yet still have some time to enjoy and engage in the things that they need to do.
Let's take another call here from John in Stratford, and then, Christy, I'm going to come back to you. John, go right ahead.
Hi. I'm 69, and I work part-time in the summer at a Vermont historic site. And I think, like Joe was saying, a lot of us tend to, you know, who are fortunate enough to have paid off our mortgages and have some time, work not primarily because of the money. And this probably happens with other nonprofits as well. My concern is that the state is looking at pushing a mandated $15 an hour minimum wage, and I'm concerned that might end up with the elimination or cutting back on some of these jobs where people don't really need some money to justify working, but not that much.
Let me put that to Christy, because we're running short on time. And Christy Kane, you know, you're working at Gardner Supply. You've got people of varying needs, varying incomes. You've got jobs of different levels. What do you think about John's point that, you know, there may be concerns for older workers with an increase in the minimum wage? And how do you address that and think about it?
Well, I think that it's a very valid concern, and we have to be really ahead of the curve when we look at our labor planning and, of course, just follow kind of what that minimum wage standard is. And it's kind of creeping up there. If it's not going to be passed, it's going to be close to it. So we have to be kind of forward thinking in it. I don't think we'll ever have an opportunity to say, let's cut out this part of our workforce as far as the seasonal contingency, and because we're so highly dependent on it. But we're just going to have to find other ways to pay for that. But it is difficult, and I don't know what other employers are facing, but it's a cost of doing business that we're just going to have to incur. But we depend so heavily on that category of worker that the cost of not having them would be detrimental to our business.
That's Christy Kane, Vice President of Human Resources and Information Technology at Gardner Supply Company, whose main offices are in Chittenden County. And Gardner Supply is a VPR underwriter. Christy, thanks very much for talking with us.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you.
So, Mary Branigan, you know, as you sort of think about this population that we've been talking about, the challenges, the benefits, the different barriers to entry and to exit in some cases, you know, what do you think that we should know about this population and our own state as we move forward with our changing demographics and changing workforce?
I think that people should know that seniors have incredible wisdom and incredible just an incredible joy for work. And they really have the common sense that businesses need and that our communities need. And I've really built my career around serving this population, which is vulnerable to long-term unemployment. And every day I'm honored to do that. Every day I see examples of people just giving so much of themselves and contributing in such huge ways to our state. And I'm excited every day that I get to do that.
That's Mary Branigan, Director of Program and Partner Affairs at Associates for Training and Development, A4TD. It's a nonprofit with several locations around the state. It helps people get training and get into new jobs. And we have a link to it at vpr.org. So if you're interested in that, you can find it by clicking on Vermont Edition. That's Mary Branigan. Joe Seftel is a data clerk with the organization and works specifically with the Senior Community Service Employment Program. Joe and Mary, thanks very much for being with us today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.